that tune is catchy enough that if you forget anything, it's the tune that will remind you of the sermon this week. But so last week we started this two-part series called Planted, and we focused on Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15, where we were challenged to be planted in the house of the Lord and allow ourselves to be fed in such a way that we would grow into big trees. Now this morning I preached and shared this wonderful oak tree joke, and it was like a ton of bricks I dropped in the congregation. Nobody laughed, not even Nigel. He caught the joke, but he didn't laugh. He told me afterwards, I've got to work on my jokes. So I won't make any tree jokes, I think. It might be in here, but I don't think there is any. But we'll have a look. So last week was all about growing into a really strong palm tree. So if you haven't read Psalm 92, it's all about palm trees and cedar trees, and we put the palm trees up on the screen and realized how small we were and how big palm trees can become, and cedar trees are massive. But the whole idea was to plant yourself in the house of the Lord and allow yourself to be fed and nourished here to the extent where you would grow into a massive palm tree or cedar tree and be able to withstand pretty much any storm life throws at you. But for so many of us sitting here tonight, you could say that, yeah, I've done it. I have come to church and I've even done faithful quiet times and Bible studies and the halted toots, and I have fed myself as much as I possibly can. But you know what, Jan? I've been through some faith-shaking storms, eh? That have really rattled my life a little. Where I found it difficult to declare that God is my rock through it all. And so tonight, I want us to look at an example of mere humans like you and I. The disciples, where they were fed, I think, the best food ever because they lived with Jesus. It was like first-hand food. Hey, who likes leftovers? Oh, the team just crashed that completely. The young adults at the back. Thank you. Thanks. Okay. So all of you, don't worry about your leftovers. Just give it to them at the back every week and they'll be fine. Don't throw it in the bin. They'll be okay. You'll save their budgets a lot. They'll love you forever. They're just loving it. Oh, yes. Okay. But seriously, on a serious note, none of us really like leftovers. Like, you would rather have that freshly cooked bread out of the oven. And that's kind of what Jesus' disciples experienced every day. They were with Jesus. So they got first-hand teaching. You and I do get it second-hand. But let's look at these mere humans and how they dealt with a massive storm in their life. And hopefully we could leave here tonight having our faith restored in God's power over all things, even in the midst of our storm. So if you've got your app open, it's Mark chapter 4, or your Bible, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind him, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A fierce squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's face it, when life's good, when we're in the boats and things are okay, the waters are still, the sun is shining, we're having a great time, the last thing we would ever say is, "Don't you care?" The last thing you and I would ever do is be unkind or unloving towards someone. And it's easy to grow spiritually when everything is okay, when we're not facing any storms. It's easy to come here and worship God. It's easy to enjoy the company of other Christians in the boat, even though they want to splash you every now and then, hey, or throw you overboard and laugh at you and pull you back in. But we all change based on our circumstances, hey? There's always a degree of change. And I might say that's completely normal and okay. But it's how we react in those circumstances that make a difference, doesn't it? Just look at these disciples in the text. Picture yourself in their shoes for a moment, where you've gone sailing with Jesus, of all people. You think he's got this covered. You know, this is Jesus. I'm pretty sure he can sail a boat, you know? God's right here. We haven't got anything to worry about. After an exhausted day's work, you get into the boat with Jesus and you're like, well, we've got a really good skipper. I'm just going to sleep. And as you look, Jesus, the skipper, is taking a dose first. You know, you're like, okay, well, if he's sleeping, everything should be okay. Okay? So we all fall asleep and we chill. And the next moment, life happens. Next moment, the waves are just crashing into your boat, and you really think like giving up. And you're like, oh my goodness, what on earth is going on? Bringing it back into our context today, often we arrive in our boat. We live this life, and everything seems okay. We think, Jesus is taking a nap, so everything must be okay. And then that storm hits. The massive storm arrives and it's crashing into your life, crashing into your boat, and slowly it seems like I can't take it anymore. If I take another hit, Lord, I'm going to break. This boat of mine is going to capsize completely and I'm going to drown. And we utter these words just like the disciples, teacher, don't you care? We're going to drown. In our modern day context, we could even utter these words, God, don't you care if we drown under serious financial pressure? God, don't you care if our families love and care for one another drowns? God, don't you care if my future drowns in the midst of serious difficulty at school or varsity? Friends, just like these disciples, it is our natural response to cry out for help, and possibly even consider jumping ship. Because we kind of justify, maybe I can try out these waters. Possibly I could swim to shore and make it. Friends, if you are facing a storm right now, or you're about to face a storm in the future, stay in the boat and call upon the name of the Lord. Because in the boat, the only thing you need to worry about is the waves crashing in. The moment you leave the safety of that boat, you've got to think about the sharks. You've got to think about the waves and the currents. You've got to think about the distance from your boat back to shore. Stay in the boat. Let's follow their example, where they stay in the boat, and what do? They call upon the name of the Lord. They go, Lord, don't you care if we drown? We need your help. We're not going to make it through this. And what does Jesus do? Does he carry on sleeping? Tell them, chill, man, you're having a bad dream. No. Jesus gets up. In your storm right now, Jesus will get up if you call upon his name. Don't call Mr. Delivery. Call upon Jesus in your storm. Don't call a friend. Call upon Jesus in your storm, because Jesus will stand up if you call upon his name. Just like he did for the disciples. And what does he do? He stands up and he will rebuke the storm in your life. You'll rebuke the wind in your life. You'll rebuke those waves, and you will tell them, be quiet, be still. And then he's with you in that boat as the waves subside. I'm not saying it's going to happen in a heartbeat. 24 hours, God, I'm calling upon your name. I want you to save my boat right now. God is with you in that boat. The waves will calm down. The wind will calm down. And when they calm down and you're in the boat, remember, Jesus stands up in that storm. He rebukes it. And in the calm, hear these words. Friends, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid in your storm? Could I say that it's the perfectly natural response for us? I've never seen any person in the midst of a storm in their life going, hey, this is cool. I'm just going to try and be calm. No. Hey, when you're in a storm, you're kind of throwing your toys out the boat, going, I need to find a life raft in here somewhere. Hey, where's my life jacket? And you're screaming. It's not this gentle, like, Lord, help me. It's, I need your help, God. I'm going to drown in the storm without you. Call upon the name of the Lord in your storm. Yes, God understands when you throw your toys around, kind of going, I need help. Help me out, God. But notice Jesus' response. It's so calm. I can even imagine it and picture it. Like kind of just like, I can't believe they just woke me for this storm. I was having an awesome night's rest. But kind of walks up to the edge of the boat and he's just like, be quiet and still. And I can see Peter going, what are you doing? That's not going to help. You know, like, yes, you know, if you know Peter well, like that's Peter, hey? And Jesus just going, Peter, whoa, it's late at night. Just be quiet, be still. And in that moment, when the storm has calmed down, when the waves have subsided and you've done like a damage control about your life and your boat, in that moment, and only then does Jesus go, why were you so afraid? Do you still have no faith in me? In the miracle maker on dry land. Remember, this was the context for the disciples. They have seen Jesus do amazing miracles on dry land. Now they're in different waters. And they wonder. They question the power of the Almighty God, who they have seen on dry land. And it's on the water that he shows them his power. He shows them that he is with them always to the very end of the age. So friends, Jesus allows the storm to calm down and then he teaches us and goes, where was your faith? And our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, hey? And often in our storms, we need to hear these two verses again and again and again. For our faith needs to grow in that storm. Otherwise, we're not going to get through it. We will jump ship. So hear these two verses again tonight. If you're facing a storm right now, hear these two verses. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Even in your storm, I am with you. Matthew 28:20. And then Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you nor forsake you, declares the Lord Most High. In your storm, in your coming storm, God will never leave you nor forsake you. When you feel like your whole boat and everything's going to fall apart, God will never leave you nor forsake you. And friends, as we memorize those scriptures and hold on to them, it is my hope that you and I could grow into the Christians that when we get through a storm, that we can agree with the disciples in the last verse, verse 37. Who is this? Even verse 41, sorry. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. May the end result of your storm or your coming storm lead you into exactly the same space where you stand in awe of God and in awe of how God has led you through your storm. Where you've seen and witnessed how God has rebuked your storm and brought calm back into your life. And possibly even restored your boat, restored your life to its original state so that you can get back to shore. And go, hey, Jesus, that was rough. But man, you are awesome. You're an amazing God. Because even the wind and the waves in my life obey you. Friends, let God challenge you tonight to plant yourself in that boat. Stay in that boat. Don't jump ship. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name who calms the storms and has the power to do so. Call upon the name of the Lord who brings that calm and then challenges you to further spiritual growth and a greater faith in His power and His might. So the next time you face a storm, the first thing you do is you call upon the name of the Lord. And you believe with everything in you that He will get you through the storm. In your storm, call upon His name. To the extent where you, at the end of your storm, can agree with the disciples, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey Him. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we as mere humans tonight could actually read through a very human story in your word, identify with it, see the disciples as we see ourselves in the boat, as we see the storms of our lives coming closer, or as we see ourselves currently in the storm, help us, Lord, tonight to call upon your name right now, knowing that you are the Lord of the storm. You have power over everything. You will calm that storm. And then you would help us grow stronger in our faith. That when we see that storm coming a mile away, the first thing we do is call upon your name. So help us, Lord, tonight to do so, right now and in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.